Welcome to the Beauty in Battle podcast, where we talk about winning in marriage by waging a war. I'm Jason Benham. I've got my girlfriend slash wife, Tori Benham, with me, and we are here to talk to you about how Satan tries to get you to fight face-to-face with your spouse, but God designed you to fight shoulder-to-shoulder against Satan so that you can win in your marriage. Fighting together draws you together. We cannot wait to jump in. So here we go. I'm excited about today's podcast. We're talking about three keys to intimacy because God created us for oneness. Mm-hmm. And essentially when I say oneness, I'm talking about intimacy.
Yeah.
Best definition I heard of intimacy. Well, it's not really a definition. It's kind of, I don't know what you call it. It's into me, see.
Yeah.
It's like so I want good. You to see into me.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the definition of intimacy is to be fully known and fully accepted.
Yeah.
So,
which requires a lot of vulnerability.
Yes, that's exactly right, because intimacy cannot be built apart from vulnerability. Mm. Now, before we dive into that and talk about it a little bit more, I have a great song for you guys. I actually don't have the song. Tori picked it out.
Yes.
It's called Stay Home Tonight by James Tucker.
Yeah, you played this for me. Was it last week?
Yes.
You had been on the road and you, I think it was Ella, our niece.
My niece Ella,
yeah. Sent it to David when you guys were on the road and you were listening to it. And I was like, oh, I like this. This is a good one. I love a good new love song.
And you know, the reason why I think we like it is this whole song is about, hey, you know what? Let's not go out tonight. Let's just stay home.
Yeah. I think it really resonates with us at this stage of our life.
Totally. Totally. So this is the chorus of Stay Home Tonight by James Tucker. You guys will like this. Listen.
Sometimes a woman needs a little company without the glow of the neon lights. We could stay right here, pull back the tables and chairs.
That's so good.
Slow dance to the dining room light. Honey, I know it's late. We could stay home tonight.
So great. And we did just that like two nights ago. You had just gotten home from a trip.
Yep.
And we're like, oh, it was the best thing ever because Domino's Pizza was having half off all pizzas, including their gluten-free, which is our favorite gluten-free pizza of all time. And it was half off for March Madness for that week. And it was the last day. Sunday was the last day. And you had just gotten home. And I was like,
yeah,
this is what we're doing tonight. We're staying home. TV dinner trays out.
Yep.
Stevia's.
Yep.
And seltzer mix. That's like, that's the concoction perfect. That we always are go to. Is it called Zivia? Zivia's. They have all these different flavors. Now, my favorite at the moment is grapefruit.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yep.
They have a good lime one too.
Yeah, they do. And so anyways, we made we'll call them mocktails.
Mocktails.
One of my friends, we had gotten together for a little girl night and she brought mocktails and it was Zivia's and a Zivia, a seltzer, some like amazing juice thing that she had and then a cherry on top and then like mint leaves or something. It was like super special. And we were like, this is amazing. So we kind of have been doing that at home because I just love the flavors.
What Tori and I love is like even that night, two nights ago, we just stayed home and we have a show, you know, like you always got to have a show. And you know what I think is so funny, especially as I travel the country, I'm speaking on this Life Surge circuit and I'm backstage in the green room. I mean, I'm talking to all sorts of people, a lot of names, you know, some names you don't know, but most all of us are married and we start talking and every single one of us are like, okay, what show are you and your spouse watching? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we're watching this. Okay. And then people literally taking out their iPhone, writing down notes like, okay, I got to start watching this show. All of us are doing it.
Yeah, it's so fun.
So Tori and I, let me give you some of our top. Okay. Now I say this, you have to download VidAngel. Yes. I'm a huge proponent of VidAngel because it gets rid of all the cussing. You can stream Netflix, VidAngel,
all the raunchy VidAngel, stuff.
Amazon, Apple, Hulu, all of it streams right through VidAngel. And you get rid of all the cussing.
All the bad stuff out. And it just, I mean, like our kids sometimes get annoyed because they're like, I don't even know what's happening. There's so much bleeping. I'm like, well, this is probably not, we're probably not supposed to be watching it if there's that many bleep outs.
Yeah, that is true. So some shows, obviously, like, especially like season, what was it? Season, when we stopped watching Yellowstone, season 2, 3, 4, like we Don't watch that anymore.
Because even on VidAngels,
it's like, just raunchy.
The way they're trying to portray these like powerful women, it was just like, okay,
this is stupid. Come on. But anyway, so we're into The Tourist right now. It's on Netflix. Oh. Netflix. Uh-huh. We watched through VidAngel. The Tourist. It's got 2 seasons. Oh man, it's so cool. You guys will love that.
Yeah, it was really good.
I forget what else. Oh, The Night Manager, The Night Agent, and Fool Me Once. So those four shows right now. That's all I'm going to give you.
That will get you through the year.
The Night Agent, The Night Manager, Fool Me Once, and The Tourist. Okay, all right, there we go.
What I was getting at, and this is very important information for you guys, is that Domino's gluten-free pizza, I think we might have mentioned this before, the best gluten-free pizza on the market.
Okay? No doubt.
And this is how you need to do it. No red sauce. Do the garlic parmesan as the base.
Yep.
And I would say go light. You can choose like light, normal, or extra. Go light.
I don't think you should do light.
We actually have never done light, but this last time I was like, okay, this is maybe a little bit too much, but we haven't been doing oils in a while. And so I think it was just a little too heavy on me. Yeah. So you do whatever you want to do, but I think next time we'll go light, babe.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Then you're going to do... So you like spinach and green
peppers and mushrooms.
I like mine just plain mushrooms.
Yeah.
And that's basically it, right? It's just the garlic parmesan and then whatever toppings you like. And then if you're really crazy, you can grab that
garlic dipping sauce. Holy cow. Butter. It's incredible.
It kind of sets on blast.
Now listen, there is no better gluten-free pizza on the planet than Domino's gluten-free pizza. And if you would have told me that those words would come out of my mouth,
I know
that a Domino's pizza was the best.
I mean, even all these Italian restaurants that we go to, we're like, it does not touch Domino's gluten-free.
Yeah. Now and then Domino's regular pizza doesn't taste as good as like a legit New York style pizza.
I actually do not like Domino's. Domino's regular pizza. Well,
yeah.
Domino's gluten-free pizza.
Ball game.
Yeah. Okay. And then you got to add a bunch of crushed peppers.
Yeah.
Crushed red pepper. Ugh.
I like how excited we get for food and movies and stuff, even though we're here to talk about intimacy.
Into me, see.
So intimacy, as I said earlier, is to be fully known and fully accepted. Okay. You need to be fully known, which is vulnerability. And then to know that you're fully accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we've done a podcast in the past before with what you're supposed to do with your spouse in order to grow deeper and into intimacy in terms of acceptance, that you need to be accepting of your spouse, receive acceptance from your spouse, and be acceptable to your spouse, which means if you can change something, change it. But if you can't change it, accept it.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So those three keys. Now we're going to get into a little bit deeper and give you some specifics on how you are going to grow together, because God has created us for oneness on three different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here are your three different levels that God's created you for oneness or intimacy on three different levels. He wants you one with him.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you one with your spouse, and he wants you one with others, which is family, church, community.
Yeah.
And obviously there are differing levels of intimacy that you can have. So he wants you one with him, one with your spouse, and one with others, which would be the rest of your family, your church, your community. Okay.
Yeah.
Now here's the key. It's easier to love God than to love people.
Can I get a what?
Shut up. Can I get a what?
That is so true.
Because you can, but the way that you love God is by loving people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier to love God than love people, right? But but the way that we show our love for God is by loving people.
Yeah.
So when it comes to marriage, our job is to grow in intimacy with our spouse, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In order for that to happen, there are three things that you must have in order to experience intimacy. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to give you these three things.
Okay.
One at a time. You good with that, Dor?
Yes. Can I just say something that jumps to mind when you're talking about intimacy? It just reminds me of John 15, abiding in Christ, right? This is what ultimate intimacy with Christ is abiding with him, becoming one with him.
Yeah.
And he says in John 15 that the way that we abide in Christ is to love others as he has loved us.
Mm, like, that's good.
If you remain in me and my words remain in me, ask whatever it is, it will be done for you. And then it goes on to say, and here is my, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love.
Yeah.
And here is my commandment, love others as I have loved you.
Yeah.
So it's like, you want intimacy with me. You want to abide in me, love others.
Mm.
And that you're exactly right. It is not it is easier to love God than it is to love others, but yet he points us to loving others to love him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then even Jesus prayed to the Lord, and we see this in the red letters of the Gospels where he said, Father, make them one as we are one. Mm-hmm. So he's like, you're like, God, I really want you to help them grow in this oneness thing. Yeah. I want them to be intimate with each other. I want them to know that. Why would God do that? Why would he create intimacy? Well, because Satan is here on the earth, and Satan wages war against all of us here on the earth, right? He mm-hmm. wages war. The kingdom of darkness wages war against the kingdom of light. The only way the kingdom of light wins is by becoming the church. Wow. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew 18 or Matthew 16, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Matthew 18 tells us where two or more are gathered, there I am in their midst, mm-hmm. which means two or more gathered in the name of God, name of the Lord, is a church. Mm-hmm. So marriage is the most organic form of church.
Yeah.
That's why we have to stay together. Mm-hmm. We've got to be together as intimate partners,
yeah.
right? Two people under the Lord, husband, wife, God. And that type of intimacy is what makes us powerful against Satan. Mm. That's why we got to have it. So now you know why you got to have it, but there are three things that are going to help us experience intimacy. Number one, closeness. Mm. You would think, oh, okay, no duh. No, but just think about this, closeness. When Jesus was talking about how we were going to abide in Christ, he uses not the analogy of a tree, he uses the analogy of a vine.
Yeah.
I am the vine, you are the branches. Mm. Okay, well, how does a vine grow? If you think about it, if you're going to plant a grapevine, mm-hmm. you know, you usually put up like posts or poles or something like that and lines and all that. And then what happens? What do the vines want to do? They want to stay close to the main source, yeah, the branch. They right. want to stay really close to it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what a vine does. A vine doesn't branch out like a tree yeah. limb. No, a vine wants to stay close. Mm-hmm. And the only way that a vine can stay close is it's got to stay connected. You know, so long as the vine stays connected to the source, to that branch, that you know, to the trunk, I should say, then the life of the trunk flows through the vine. Mm. And so this is the intimate, this is the picture of closeness that we need with our spouse. My job is to make sure that I stay as close to Tori as I can stay. Mm. Her job is to stay as close to me as she can stay. Mm. Ecclesiastes 4:11 says, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. Okay. But how can one keep warm alone? And I love that word picture because God made us close. Like just picture a very cold day. Okay. It's a cold night. And it's time for you and your spouse to jump in bed. And you guys jump in bed. And what happens typically, if you're in a good, if you're in a, you know, good spot in your marriage, mm-hmm. you're going to huddle up right next to each other. Why? Because body heat
yeah.
is what happens when you get close to each other, right. you get warm.
Yeah.
So it
you
brings,
always say that I only snuggle in the winter because I just want to get warm.
Yeah.
That's and, not true though.
I think it's partially
maybe a little
true.
Bit.
I think it's partially true, but that closeness brings a level of comfort
yeah.
that you mm-hmm. can't have apart from it. Mm-hmm. Satan loves distance.
Yeah.
So he wants us to operate independently of each other. He wants us never reaching out and touching each other. He doesn't want you holding hands with your spouse. Mm. He doesn't want you to snuggle, at least just for 15 seconds in the bed. I mean, that's mm-hmm. typically Tori and I are like, snuggle for a little bit, and then we're separate.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because then we get hot, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Just all the stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you're laying in bed and you find that you never snuggle with your spouse, well, just know this. Satan likes that. Mm. Do the opposite of what Satan wants you to do.
Yeah.
Get close.
Yeah, exactly. I love that you started this out by before talking about the three things to bring intimacy, you gave the why behind intimacy. Yeah. You have to keep that vision and that why in front of you. Why do we even want to pursue intimacy? Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church.
That's exactly
marriage
right.
Marriage is the most organic form of church. Mm. If you don't keep that why in front of you, I promise you, you will lose motivation.
That's
to
true.
Move towards these three steps that we're sharing with you.
Yeah.
Because there are just going to be days where you're like, I don't want to be close. I don't want to be touched. Mm. I don't want to smell your breath. You know, it's there.
You said that with some hatred in your heart.
This is just the reality of marriage, right? But when you keep that why before you, when you keep the vision of why are we even doing this? Why are we even moving towards this? Because yeah. there is a bigger purpose for our marriage than just me and you and our happiness.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I just wanted to reiterate that before you even continue with these three things, because if you are not keeping that why before you, you will lose the motivation to do these things.
Yeah. Song of Solomon 1, It's a great picture, Song of Solomon, of Solomon and his wife. Now they were engaged at the beginning of the Song of Solomon, and a few chapters in, they actually get married, and then they're physically intimate with each other, and they explain it and they describe it. And it's just a very intimate picture of a romantic relationship between a husband and wife, which then reflects the relationship between Christ and the church. But in Song of Solomon 1, the betrothed wife, she was the future wife, was actually talking about how, hey, I want you to come kiss me. I want you to come, let's make out, yeah. Essentially. Second in Song of Solomon's 1:2-4. And so she's essentially saying, come get close to me. Like, let's kiss. Let's mm-hmm. Let's make out with each other. And the thing that I liked was in the very beginning, in that first chapter, it was the woman chasing the man. Mm-hmm. It's like she was coming after him, right? So now I'm going somewhere with that. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to have to wait till point three whenever I finish that. But so we see this picture of intimacy, them getting close and kissing in mm-hmm. Song of Solomon 1.
Yep.
Now, something will happen a little bit later, but I'm going to put that on pause for a second. The question is, when it comes to closeness, what can you do with your spouse to draw close? Mm. What is it that you guys do that helps you draw close together?
Yeah.
Is it a mountain bike ride? Is it hiking? Is it watching a movie together? Is it, I don't know, it could be anything. Mm-hmm. Is it going to the park with your kids and you just push the kids on the swing while you guys talk? Like,
yeah.
Whatever it is that helps you draw close with your spouse, do it.
Yeah.
And just know that if you're too tired to do those things, then Satan is winning. Mm. Don't let him win. Okay. Because the result of closeness is comfort.
Yeah.
And that's where God wants to bring you. Okay. So the first key to grow in intimacy is closeness. Number two is concentration.
Mm.
So it's closeness, then it's concentration. What I mean by that is you've got to proactively think positive thoughts about your spouse.
Yeah.
So when we were dating, when you're dating your spouse, well, when you were dating your girlfriend or boyfriend, you typically naturally thought about what was right with them and what mm-hmm. you liked.
Yeah.
But then you get married and it's very easy for you to start thinking about what is wrong with them and what you loathe. You know, but you can't do that. The key is to take your thoughts captive. Mm. I mean, we know that the Apostle Paul tells us that.
Yeah.
Like, take thoughts captive.
Yeah.
Now, a captive doesn't die, right? So if somebody's taken captive, they're not killed.
Yeah.
They're just locked up and not in control. They're captive. What we're supposed to do is when negative thoughts come into our mind about our spouse, about anything for that matter, but specifically we're talking about marriage, about your spouse, take it captive. Mm. It might be true in that moment, but take it captive. Don't let it wreck you. Don't let it cause all sorts of emotional imbalance in you so that when your spouse comes home or you guys are together and you absolutely explode, don't let that happen.
Yeah.
You know, there will come a time when you guys, you know, kids are asleep or whatever. Now it's time to talk. Let the thought out at that point and then you guys discuss it.
Yeah.
But take the thought captive. Don't let negative thinking control you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's important to recognize that with negativity, it becomes a loop. It's like, even in neuroscience, they show like with these negative loops begin, it's really hard to get out of them because they're just looping thoughts of negativity. And you have to be really proactive when a negative loop has begun, because it can just, without you even thinking about it, it's very subconsciously, the thoughts in your mind just loop over and over and over again. And you have to be intentional to stop the loop.
Yeah.
Like, no, think about what you're thinking about. If you're just going on with your day and you're not even really paying attention to what you're thinking about, but you feel really negative towards your spouse, you need to stop and recognize what that thought is so that you can replace it with a better thought.
That's good. And you know, I was reading I forget exactly, it was an article or if it was a book, but I was reading by a psychologist and they said, you need to be forceful with yourself and actually say the word stop.
Yeah.
When you're thinking those things, like literally go, okay, stop, stop. Mm-hmm. Like tell yourself, stop.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that. And he said, just saying it like that, it's like a shock to your subconscious.
Yeah.
And it tells your subconscious, we're not going down that path.
Wow.
So
it's really interesting.
I can just see Tori grocery shopping. She's sitting there talking to herself and all of a sudden she's like, stop. Jason's actually a nice guy. I like him. Okay, let me twist this for a second, because we're talking about taking your thoughts captive, and a captive doesn't die, okay? So captive means imprisoned or confined, okay? So a captive doesn't die. Now, let me turn this around. It's not just captive, it's captivate. Mm. Now, captivate means to attract or hold the attention of. So the key is we want to be captivated by our spouse. And we want to help captivate our spouse, which is to attract our spouse. And we want to be attracted to our spouse. The secret to captivation, which is being attracted to our spouse, is concentration. Concentration leads to captivation. Okay. When we're thinking good thoughts about our spouse, we will be captivated by them. And they, in turn, if they're thinking good thoughts about us, will be captivated by us. But if we think bad thoughts, we will be captive to those negative thoughts.
That is really good.
Right? So we just have to make sure that it's positive. What we say in our book is a little RPA, radical proactive appreciation.
Yeah.
In your mind all the time. Yeah. That's what concentration is. Okay. Now, going back into Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon chapter 7, it talks about how Solomon was totally captivated with his wife. I mean, totally captivated. But chapter 7 describes what type of woman she was. And it literally talks about how she had like a neck, like Lebanon, like you talked about her belly, like a goblet. And so, you know, what we really see is that she was a pot-bellied girl with a long neck, beady eyes, and a massive schnoz. She didn't walk places. She waddled. But he dug her.
He was captivated by her.
He was captivated. Mm-hmm. So when you're captivated, the things that you could easily criticize, you now think are cute.
Yeah. And also the things that you could be most insecure about, the person that loves you most can love the most.
See, that's exactly where I was going. You're good. Mm. I like Tori's good, ladies and gentlemen.
Reading your mind.
But okay, that puts me into point number three. So let me give you point number one. To grow in intimacy is closeness. Number two is concentration. And number three is conflict. Now remember, conflict is meant for connection. It's the opportunity of turning me into we. Okay. If Tori wants to make her Ranger cookies, which she does, and they're incredible. We had them the other day. You take flour, sugar, butter, all that kind of stuff, and you mix it together, and they have to be put into the bowl of conflict. And when they get all mixed in together, you know, if they had emotions, they probably wouldn't enjoy that process very much, but they come out so much better on the other side because they now become one. They're better on their own than they are separate. Nobody eats a spoonful of sugar. Nobody eats a spoonful of flour or a tablespoon of butter. Holy cow, I can't even imagine. But you take all that stuff and mix it up, blend it up, it becomes one and it tastes really good. And it can even be nourishing depending on how healthy it is. But that conflict is the opportunity to turn me into we. So we need conflict in order for us to grow in intimacy.
Yeah.
This is where I get back to Song of Solomon. Because closeness leads to comfort. We said that earlier. If you're willing to go through the tunnel of conflict.
Yeah.
Let's jump back into the freezing cold night when you and your spouse jump into bed. Or let me just put it to you this way. I'm laying in bed. Tori in the winter has these flannel sheets. I am so incredibly warm. I've been in bed for about 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden, Tori jumps in and icicle feet come right next to me, curled up like she's holding on to me because she's an ice bucket. And I feel like I just took the ice bucket challenge.
And you're thawing me out.
Yeah, I'm thawing her out. But here's the key. If I don't allow her to get close to me because she's freezing cold, she'll end up warming up on her own. She will for sure, but she won't be close to me. But if I'm willing to endure that momentary like
discomfort,
holy Lord Almighty God, my Savior, why is my wife frozen? Like, I don't understand how you got that cold from walking downstairs, but well, you
imagine being me.
Yeah. I have married the ice queen. So, and I'm married to the ice queen, but listen, after about 45 seconds to 60 seconds, if I just stick it out, all of a sudden the feet start to warm up and then we're comfortable. But closeness leads to comfort when you're willing to go through the tunnel of conflict.
Yeah. And I think that conflict sometimes is just from within.
Yeah.
Like there's this conflict inside of us that doesn't want to be close, that doesn't want to draw near to our spouse, that just wants space or just wants, and not that space is not appropriate at times, but I'm saying that there sometimes is a conflict from within that we have to bust through for intimacy.
Yeah.
There are times where we're not going to want to do it. There are times we're not going to want to do the things that draw us close, but you gotta go through that discomfort and that conflict inside of you. I remember hearing a worship leader one time saying, you got to get bossy with yourself.
Yeah, I like that.
And they were talking about breakthrough and how when you need breakthrough, you know, when there's a conflict, you've got to get bossy with yourself. You got to, you got to tell yourself exactly what you said earlier. Like, stop it.
Quit.
That's enough.
No more. Yeah. Okay. So let's go back into Song of Solomon 1. She's saying, come kiss me. Let's do this. Let's make out. And he, you know, supposedly comes her way. Okay. And then all of a sudden in verse 6 of Song of Solomon 1, she says this, she says, do not stare at me because I'm dark, because I am darkened by the sun.
Mm.
Now, she was a dark skinned girl. And in this moment, they're in a moment of intimacy. But now all of a sudden, because they were intimate, it revealed her insecurity. Mm-hmm. Intimacy reveals insecurity.
Yeah.
Why? Because of vulnerability. When you open up and you let someone in, any insecurity that you have will come bubbling to the top. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, don't look at me here. Don't look at me there. I don't want you to see me in this position. I don't look like, I don't like my face, or I don't like this, my ears, or I don't like my hair, or whatever. I don't know what it could be. She's saying she didn't like her skin.
Yeah.
She didn't like her skin color. Well, she wanted to be close, but then when she got close, all of a sudden now it reveals her insecurity.
Yeah.
That's how Satan works, right? Because he wants us to be insecure. He wants us to hide. He doesn't want us to show everything.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want us to, but intimacy reveals insecurity, and that brings a level of discomfort. That's where conflict comes in. But if you overcome that and you're just like, you know what, my spouse loves me regardless, I'm going to receive that.
Yeah.
Then you will draw so much closer, because he says in the same chapter, Solomon responds back and he says, I liken you, my darling, to a mare among Pharaoh's chariot horses. Mm-hmm. And then he starts talking about her cheeks and her neck and her earrings and all the stuff that he loves and the way she smelled. It was like the very thing that she didn't like about her skin, he actually liked.
Yeah.
So he's like, but that's what I'm attracted to. You don't like your dark skin. I'm attracted to your dark skin.
Yeah.
And then he talks about how much he's captivated by her. And so the very thing that she was insecure about is the thing he loved.
Yeah. I love that.
So those three keys right there, the three keys you've got to have if you want to experience intimacy, if you want to experience oneness, you got to have closeness, you got to have concentration, and you've got to embrace conflict.
Mm.
And when you do that, you guys can be victorious over Satan, who comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy your relationship and your family. And you're not going to let him do it.
That's so good. I love that. Okay. So I'm going to share a recipe with you guys before we let you go. It's one that I've shared before, but I made it last week because we have big news.
Tori is not pregnant, because that's really what that sounded like.
Really? No.
We have big news for you guys.
No, we have some really exciting news. Our oldest, Trey, proposed to his now fiance.
Yes.
Bailey. Oh my goodness. It was amazing. And so anyways, we just celebrated with them last week. And one of the things that I made was, one of my favorite appetizers is, I don't even know what the name of this would be, but it's bacon wrapped dates.
Yeah,
I guess
with goat cheese.
Of it, but you stuff the dates with goat cheese and then you wrap bacon around it and bake it. They're amazing. I'll share that recipe with you. I've shared it before, so I'm going to repost that. It was from like several years ago, but it was the most amazing celebration. Oh my goodness. We need to have Trey on sometime to maybe share the whole story, because it was beautiful. So Trey basically found out that he had a day off from basketball. And so he pulled this amazing plan together.
Yeah.
And it was so fun and it was so thoughtful. And Bailey,
she was bawling.
I was eating it up and it was beautiful. And
you should have seen, like, you posted this on Jason and Tori though, didn't you? Like in our story or something?
No, I need to.
You should post that.
I posted on my personal.
Because Tori made all this stuff and then she actually created a luxury picnic. So like blanket on the ground, candles, all that luxury picnic. And then she did a second station, which was it was on a dock at a lake house that we're part owners of. And on the dock, she put a little table, like a bistro table, two chairs, and got their favorite, they love Chipotle. So
Trey and Bailey have been dating since they were 15. And this was their first date, I believe, and their like go-to dates for the last 7 years.
Chipotle.
They love Chipotle. And so Trey, all of this was Trey's brainchild. He just needed a little help with some of the details. And he basically wanted the Chipotle on the lake, a candlelight dinner, like on a small bistro table overlooking the water. And he wanted the Chipotle to be separate. you know, with like, so it looked
on
like
nice silver platters and stuff.
Yeah.
Plates.
Like, so that it felt like a gourmet meal, but then it was Chipotle. Their favorite meal, Chipotle.
Yeah.
So it was really cute. He's like, I want all the dressings like to be separate and really pretty glass.
It was very romantic. We set the tiki lights up and candles and all that. It was fun. And then Bailey's family came in. And now here's an interesting thing. My name is Jason Bailey Benham.
Right.
I named Trey Bailey Benham. Mm-hmm. He's dating, well, now he has a fiance, Bailey Stinson, soon to be Bailey Benham.
Right.
And I have a nephew named Bailey Benham. Yeah. So we got to figure this one out.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. Every time we say Bailey, everyone gets super confused.
Yeah. It's like, what's going on here? Okay. Yeah. So that was cool. So you'll post that.
I'll share that bacon wrap dates recipe because it's such an easy appetizer to make, and everyone always loves it. I mean, it's pretty healthy too. It's just goat cheese,
and bacon, it definitely and will paste. Win you some awards. Like you go to one of those dessert parties, or you know, where you bring appetizer to dessert. Any
I actually
time,
did win.
You did
in a contest.
But what I've noticed about that
recipe,
this Christmas party that we go on to for like 15 years, and everybody brings an appetizer and a dessert or whatever, and then they rate it. Anytime somebody brought something with bacon in it,
that is true. That is true.
So when in doubt, go with bacon.
Uh-huh.
All right. Three keys to intimacy. You guys enjoy this. Do you remember what they were, Tor?
Nope. You can't put me on the spot like that.
Closeness, concentration, and conflict. And they really ministered to Tor big time. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys soon.